Solid Rock, I know there's a few empty seats this morning, but I want to tell you something. Solid Rock is growing. There's new families coming into Solid Rock all the time. And there are different kinds of people coming into Solid Rock all the time. I mean, how many know some are weird and some are different and some are super spiritual and some aren't so spiritual? But it's when you get a group of people, you get all kinds of people, don't you? And after a while, when you begin to grow, you will experience difference of opinions, different beliefs, different ideas about how a church should be governed or run, or how a church service should be run. Different ones feel like the temperature should be 68. Others feel like it should be 74. You wouldn't believe what we have to put up with sometimes. You ought to feel sorry for me as the pastor. I didn't like the color of that carpet. You know, that's just black and gray. Why couldn't we go with pink and purple? Yeah, I don't know. I guess because that's probably what my wife wanted, you know. I don't know why we put those little stickers on the back of those chairs, you know. And we have to put up with a lot. But you know what? I love it. I love it. I don't get in the flesh over it. I thank God for the variety that we have at Solid Rock. How many knows we need variety? Heinz 57 is what we are at Solid Rock. And also what comes along with it, I'm preaching now. Did y'all know that? Yeah, I'm preaching now. What comes along with that when new people begin to come in, and you may have been here 3 or 4 years, 5 years, and you don't feel like you're so new anymore, but what happens is after a while, we get to see the real you, and sometimes people's walls go up because we're always going to have different beliefs. But if you believe that God sent you to Solid Rock, you can't allow somebody that sits in the back to determine whether you're going to stay here or not because they have a different belief. We're all going to have different beliefs. My wife and I don't believe alike. Can you believe that? We don't believe alike all the time. I'm always right. Nope, I'm not sure about that at all. But because we will have people coming in, we will have different doctrines, different theories, different beliefs, but that's okay. God knows when he sets you in Solid Rock that things might be a little different. Now, when you first come, you look at this church and say, oh man, this is exactly what I'm looking for. This is where I need to be. I'm gonna plug in here until you hear something you may not agree with. And then all of a sudden, we start to get these little doubting signals in our mind about, well, maybe God didn't send me there, or I don't believe like that, so maybe I need to check out and find a church. Can I tell you something? You will never, everybody say never. Never. Shake your head and say never. Never. You will never find a church that you totally agree with. Amen. And so if you're thinking, well, I've been here 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and this church don't believe like I do, you know what? Check it out and just make sure that it isn't a doctrine that's going to send somebody to hell, okay? Because I believe we can all believe around the cross that Jesus Christ is Lord. We can all believe that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And whether you believe Jesus is coming back tomorrow or in 7 years or in 3.5 years or whatever, that's okay. You're my brother. You're my sister. And we can fellowship and we can worship and we can come to church and have a good time together. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As we grow, there's growing pains. And there's going to be a lot of different beliefs. What I want us to work on, and I'm going to talk about this, is when we disagree that we don't get our little cliques going around and saying, well, you know what? They don't agree with us. We got our own little clique here, and then I got my little clique, and now they got their little clique, and then we have a cliquish church. How many knows that's not nice? I'm so blessed that Solid Rock is not a cliquish church. When Dr. Sue comes in, when Dr. Medeiros comes in, they take off their doctor suit and they become human just like the rest of us. When a lawyer comes in, he takes off his lawyer suit and he's just like the rest of us. When a car mechanic comes in, he takes off his overhauls and cleans his hands and comes to church, he's just like the rest of us. We're family. And you'll never agree with everybody, but I'll tell you one thing. If you really believe that we are family, you'll stand up and fight for your family. Huh? You'll fight for your family, even though when you don't agree. You know what? There's times my wife and I don't agree on things, but I still will stand up and fight for her. I will not let you talk about my wife. I'll sick Alex on you. Big Alex, Big Al, or Jeff. I believe Jeff could probably help defend too, couldn't you, buddy? So anyway, I just have a very simple message today. And I just called it getting along with other people. Getting along. Let's learn to get along, even though, do you know we have a variety of cars out here on the parking lot? Do you know we might have an electric car out there? There might be a Tesla. There might be a hybrid. There might be, God forbid, you know, a Chevrolet or a Chrysler. But thank God there's Fords out there, you know, Toyotas. Everybody drives something different. You know why? Because we have our favorites. We have our pet cars, right? But that doesn't divide us. Amen. Roy? Boy, you guys look different sitting over here today. Roy and Terry sitting over on the other side. We have our favorites, or we have our whatever. But I want you to look around you this morning. Look around. Look how people are dressed. There's probably somebody here today in shorts. There's probably somebody today with short hair and long hair. There may be a guy here with an earring on. Oh. There may be somebody who's got tattoos up and down their arm or a cross on their leg. But listen, that's okay. That's okay. We can still come to church together. I told Chris this morning when I walked into the room, I said, you know, Chris, I asked God this morning if I should wear a coat. And he said, no, don't wear a coat because Chris won't have one on today. You know what he said? You missed it, Pastor. But that's okay. I asked him why he started wearing a coat. He said, well, I want to try to bring the image up a little bit. And then I don't come in with a coat and ruin it for you. But anyway, that's okay. We all dress different, don't we? Some wear dresses. Some wear slacks. Some guys wear earrings. I don't have a problem. What we need to learn to do is that we can work together. We can flow together. We can worship God together like we did this morning. You see, when the lights are off, you don't know who's standing in front of you, behind you, or next to you, do you? So this is what I want to talk about. Can I talk about this for a few minutes this morning? Because it's really important. Because as new people come in, there's going to be questions. There's going to be, why do you do this like you do? Or do you believe this? Well, I don't believe that away. But that's okay. You can come to this church and not believe like the pastor. There's a lot of people in here that don't believe like me. All we ask is that you don't stir up strife, that you don't start saying, well, I believe this, and the pastor's wrong, and that teacher is wrong, and that person, you know, that's what we want to try to stay away from, because listen, when we get out of the love of God, you're going to stop the blessings of God from flowing in your life. I promise you, you will stop the brakes like an emergency brake or a Jake brake, and you will stop faster. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning, and I'll try to have you out here earlier than the Baptist so we can get to the buffet first, okay? About getting along with other people. Now, I'm talking about relationships this morning because I think a church ought to be one big happy family. Now, because we have different interest groups, we have motorcycle people, right, that kind of cling together. You know, we've got different ones that cling together, and that's okay as long as it doesn't become so cliquish that you are exclusive, that you are excluding others or just including yourself to be the only person that's good enough to join your group. So relationships. And when we come to church, I've got it written down here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. Coming to church can be one of your most trying times of the week. Because you put up with people that are totally different than you. You do. And contention and strife will stop the flow of the Spirit of God, even if it's in your heart and you're meditating it and thinking about it, how that it's going to slow down what God wants to do in your life, in other people's lives, and in this church. Amen? Somebody said the secret to getting along with others is easy. Be kind and have a short memory. How many knows that's true? Be kind and have a short memory. Relationships are like a deck of cards. At first, all you need is two hearts and a diamond. Later on, you wish you had a club and a spade. Life is a series of relationships. You can never be a hermit. You will always be in some type of a relationship. In fact, that was God's idea, wasn't it? Isn't it God who said, it's not good that man should be alone? And I know in context, that's when he was making Eve a helpmeet for him. But I think it's still vital that we understand it's not good that we be isolated. It's not good that we be alone. It's not good that we don't have family. It's not good that we don't have a network of people around us. And that's what Solid Rock is. We're a network of people. Everybody's gifted differently. I so appreciate Nick Radford. And I'll tell you how you can appreciate him. You go to other Facebook live streams and listen to their music, and then go back and listen to this one, and you'll understand how much hard work he puts in to making this music and making this team sound good. Thank you, Nick Radford. It takes everybody working together, but he's gifted. He's talented in that area. They don't want me around that soundboard back there. Nick didn't even say amen, did he? Life is full of relationships, and we're always going to be tempted to tear those bridges down, burn those bridges. And when you burn a bridge, how many knows there's no going back? Amen? Bridges, listen to this. Bridges are the relationships that build and connect hearts. It builds and connects lives together, relationships. And you know what? We are probably not very good, most of us, at building relationships. Probably this is the worst people in society to try to build relationships. You know why? Listen to me. Because relationships require commitment. Say that with me. Relationships require commitment. And so a lack of commitments, you see relationships just falling apart everywhere. So I want to talk to you today about loving other people, even when they don't measure up. Maybe they're not as spiritual as you are. Maybe they don't have a word knowledge as you do. Maybe they don't have, maybe they're on a different economic system than you are. Maybe they live in a camp and trailer and you live in a $1 million mansion. We're still family, and we need to learn to get along together with each other, right? Instead of putting somebody down just because you might have a different status. This is going to be good today, folks. Amen. And it's something that we're going to be able to use every single day of our lives because God is into relationships. Amen. So the very first thing I want to establish is how important it is to have the love of God flowing through you. Because what I'm talking about, you cannot do without the agape, the love of God flowing through you. The kind of love that doesn't only is nice when somebody does tricks for you or when somebody does something for you, you love them back. The agape kind of loves us even when we were still sinners to send a son to die on the cross. The agape kind of love loves the world. And Jesus, the Bible says, John 3:16, he loved the world so much that he gave. That's the agape kind of love. And I'd like to remind you this morning that the greatest commandment is not found in Leviticus, or is it Exodus, where the Ten Commandments are. Did you know the Ten Commandments are not the most important commandment that we're to keep today? Are you with me? Can you just smile at me? Let me know you didn't go to sleep, okay? The Ten Commandments, in fact, all of the Ten Commandments hang and are an outgrowth of just two commandments. Huh? There was this lawyer one time, we'll read the scripture in just a moment, but let me set the stage. There was this lawyer one time that knew the law, and he thought he was pretty smart, and so he wants to ask Jesus a trick question. He's trying to trip him up. It's a trick question. It wasn't even a sincere question. They were just trying to find a way to accuse Jesus so that they could get him out of Dodge, discredit him, slander him in front of everybody. But Jesus' response brought probably one of the greatest statements that we will ever hear out of the mouth of Jesus. Now listen, many of us are praying for the blessings of the Lord. We are praying and believing for the favor of the Lord. We're praying for the healing and deliverance from the Lord. We're praying, God help us, but there's a problem that's blocking all those things, and it's walking in love towards one another, even to those that are not lovely. So we're going to look in Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to read how Jesus responded to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because Jesus said, we'll read it here. 34 through 40. Hearing that, Jesus silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. How many knows that there was a bunch of people in Jesus' day that thought they were smart and they didn't know anything? They thought they knew the law, but they didn't know the lawmaker, right? And, there's actually four. Some says there was the Pharisees and Sadducees, but there was four groups of people. There was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the couldn't-sees, and the wouldn't-sees. Guess what? Some of them are still with us today. Those guys weren't blind physically, but spiritually, they were blind. They didn't have the spiritual insight to see what Jesus was talking about because of their traditions. They had so much tradition. Do you know they were very prideful people, the Sadducees? They even had hardened hearts. They had no sympathy, no love, no compassion. And how many knows there's a big difference in being unable to see and refusing to see? So Jesus silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together, and one of them was an expert in the law and tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" I don't know what he was expecting for an answer. Maybe he was, and back in those days, their greatest commandment was that all male babies should be circumcised. That was the one commandment that they believed everybody should keep, circumcision of the male child, because that's the cutting of the blood. That's the blood covenant, And so I'm sure that they were ready to answer that question, or Jesus wasn't going to answer it like they wanted to. And Jesus replies with an answer that throws them off. Another thing that they really, how many of the Pharisees and Sadducees really observed the Sabbath? They were religious about the Sabbath. Do you know you could only take so many steps on a Sabbath day? Do you know that even today in Israel, if you get on an elevator and it's on a Saturday and a Jew gets in the elevator with you, do you know they are not allowed to touch the button where the floor is? Therefore, every elevator stops on every floor on Saturday in Israel, so nobody has to push the button. How religious is that, And this is what Jesus was up against with the Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't-sees, and wouldn't-sees. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, and he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Say first and greatest, love the Lord your God. I told you before that Deuteronomy chapter 6 was the chapter that the parents taught their children. They had to memorize Deuteronomy chapter 6 frontwards and backwards. They had to be able to read it blindfolded because this was the most important chapter in the Bible. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Then he says, here's the second commandment. This is the second and the greatest, second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor. Now, how many knows a lot of times we get hung up on that word neighbor and we think, well, it's the guy that's got the picket fence right in our yard, huh? Or it's the guy that lives on the same block as us. That's our neighbor. Listen, that's not the kind of neighbor Jesus is talking about. Wow. Okay, come on, help me, Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the prophets and all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. 1 John chapter 2, look at this with me, verse 9. If anyone claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. I will do a definition and an explanation of words here in just a moment, because that word hate sounds very strong, and it's not translated the way that we would use the word hate, just like neighbor isn't. And then we're going to drop down at 1 John. I want to read verse 9 one more time. If anyone claims to be in the light, but you hate your brother, he is still in darkness. 1 John 4:19. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates, there's that same word, hates his fellow believer, that person is a what? A liar. For if we don't love people, we can see how can we love God, whom we can't. If we don't love the people we do see, how can we love God, whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love fellow believers. And I just want to point something out in these verses. Six times the word agape, the God kind of love, is used. And it's a strong passage of Scripture. In fact, it's so strong that many translators try to rewrite it to where it's a little more appealing. But how many knows Jesus meant what he said, and he said what he meant, right? Amen? And many translators will translate that word hate to detest or to disregard, right? To hate or disregard or to be indifferent to. It's not the kind of hate that we think of when we use the word hate. Jesus said, because the world hates me, they're going to hate you also. How many knows when the world hates us, we're not supposed to reciprocate that hate back to them? Amen? When the world hates us, what did Jesus do? He turned around and loved them and blessed them. What are we supposed to do? When the world hates us, we're supposed to overcome that hatred through sacrifice, through loving. John chapter 13. Let me lay the foundation this morning. Verse 34 and 35, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. I'm going to tell you something. That's a mouthful right there. Love one another as I have loved you. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now, Alex spoke at the men's meeting Friday night, and we had a wonderful men's meeting, had a good attendance, had good food, good spirit, and had a couple of good crowd breakers. We had lots of fun. But Alex spoke, and when he got done, I said, Alex, I didn't give you my notes, did you? Because he was speaking along the very same things that I was planning on teaching on this morning. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Do you know sometimes you don't even have to say, I'm a Christian, to let people know that you are a believer. In fact, sometimes when you tell somebody you are a Christian, they want to run from it because of the example Christianity has been in the past. Christianity has not always had a real positive taste in its mouth for people. Amen. So we sometimes want to change these verses around to suit us, but if someone says they love God, but they harbor hate and resentment toward others, the Bible says they are lying. Is this too hard, maybe? Maybe that's what's wrong? Okay. You're not sleeping, though, right? We need to allow God's love to flow through us. The Bible says that his love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it's poured into us so that it can go back out and love the unlovely. And how many knows there are some unlovely believers? Come on. There's some unloving. There's some unloving Christians, church members. But you know what? We're not to build our walls and divide ourselves from them and think we're better than them. How many knows God was better than all of us, but yet he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins? Amen? And so what I want to help us to see today is that, yeah, we may not all agree on the very same doctrine, and that's okay, but we don't hate our brother because they don't agree with us. We don't, what was the word I said for disregard? We disregard them. We separate ourselves from them because we don't agree with them. But if somebody says they love God, but they're harboring hate and resentment, then they are lying. That's what the Bible says. Can I hear an amen? Now let's look at James. James calls it the royal law. James chapter 2 and verse number 8. Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal love as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor. That's not your next door people. You know what neighbor means? Your fellow man. It doesn't even mean the believers in the church. Come on now. When it says love your neighbor, it's not Tiffany sitting next to Carissa. Your neighbor is a fellow person, your fellow man. Love your neighbor how much? As much as you love yourself. It's, you know, I love it that James called it the royal law of love. You know what it means? It's kingly. It's kingly. It's the highest law. It's as high as you can go. The highest of all laws. And so the greatest that any of us can do is love God and to love people. Amen. That's our responsibility. So Jesus is establishing that loving God and loving other people is really what the law is all about. It's the royal law of loving one another. It's kingly. It's the most important. It's the highest. It's the most important of all laws, to love one another as you love yourself. Now, later on, I might talk about this, but let me just throw in a little thought here. You know, if you're walking in love and you love your neighbor as yourself, how many knows we don't need the Ten Commandments? I think I might have lost some of you just then. We really don't need the Ten Commandments if we're walking in love. Because thou shalt not steal will not apply to you. Because if I love you, I will not steal from you. If I love you, I will not bear false witness against you. If I love you, I will honor my parents. Don't expect me to name all 10 of them, but I'm just trying to give you an example of what, you know, all 10, when we will love ourselves as God loves the church, we really don't need to worry about, am I breaking one of the 10 commandments? In fact, that's the old law, isn't it? There's only one commandment. Well, there's two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, number two, and your neighbor as yourself. Can I tell you something? It's non-negotiable. There's not any but if. Amen. Amen. So what I'm talking about here is that we love one another as we love ourselves, because I won't rob from you if I love me. And if I love you, why would I rob from you? Why would I put those scare taxis and that fear in your mind? You know, why would I do something like that? If you ask the average person today, what is the greatest thing? I don't think they would say it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Amen. But I want to tell you something. This is the message of the New Testament church. It's simple. It's elementary. But every once in a while, we have to go back and visit those baby step doctrines that we learned years ago, because sometimes we let them slip, as the writer of Hebrews said. Amen. And so John 13, 34 and 35 again, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. You should love each other. And I'm telling you what, Jesus loved those 12 disciples unconditionally, didn't he? Do you know he even loved Judas and he knew he was going to betray him? I believe Jesus knew when he handpicked Judas that he was the one that was going to deny him. But he picked him anyway. God knew when he set me in as pastor at Solid Rock a little few years ago. I was going to say a little over, but it's been a lot. A few years ago, he knew who he was setting in here. He knew he wasn't perfect. He knew he was full of flesh. He knew sometimes his mind was not renewed. He knew that I would make some bad decisions, financial decisions, personal decisions. He knew all of that. But guess what? He set us here anyway. Because God doesn't say, love those only that are perfect. Because if that's what you're looking for, you ain't going to love anybody. You don't even love your spouse if you're looking for somebody perfect to love. Is this okay today? Love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. And so I want us to go to Romans chapter 13. And I want us to look at verse 8 today. Now, I know you're not jumping up out of your seats and standing up and applauding, and that's okay. I don't need that. I want to make sure the word is settling in your heart so that it'll bring forth the fruits. Did I tell you that the Lord told us to never, he never told us that we had to love only the perfect? You know how we're to love people? With the same love that he loved us with. And if he only loved the perfect, how many knows there wouldn't have been anybody in this world for him to love? So we love people with the kind of love, like Jesus said, the kind of love that God has and the kind of love that he has for his disciples. That's the way we're to love one another. So here in verse 8 of Romans 13, it says, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. How many knows that's a debt you'll never pay? You have a debt. You owe your you have an obligation to love one another. It doesn't say accept your obligation to love those who agree with you, or those who are just doctrinally correct, or those who may be a little squirrely. Now, nobody in here, right? Nobody in here squirrely. We're talking about, okay. So understand, you know, he said obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. The greatest thing we can do, not how deep is our doctrine, not how deep is our revelation, but how much do we love one another? That is the measuring stick. How much do you love the way Jesus Christ loved the church? Amen? Paul's teaching us that we probably should be wise in our financial decisions. He said, owe no man nothing. He said, make sure that you're wise in your financial things, but also make sure that your love to love somebody is not based on their character or on their productivity or their spiritualness. Amen? The gospel is not about finding perfect people. It's about imperfect people learning to love people that are imperfect. Amen. And so I said a while ago that thou shalt not steal. That's one of the commandments. Can I give you a little illustration here? Let's think about this for just a minute. Thou shalt not steal. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, we will not steal from them. Is that okay? Everybody agree with that? What if you go to, and I'll use Walmart because that's where a lot of people go. What if you go to Walmart and you give, your bill is like 15 point something, and you give her a 20 or him a $20 bill, and they give you back change for a 50. Woo, thank you, Jesus, for the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I'm happy. Thank you, Jesus. I just got a little extra offering from Walmart. Is that the way we should be? Should we take that and put it in our pocket? Or should we give it back and say, because you know what? It's stealing. You know why it's stealing? Because it wasn't yours. It wasn't yours in the first place. Stealing. Amen. Love returns it instead of keeping it. I believe the biggest test of Christianity is probably found behind the steering wheel. We'll find out how much you love that neighbor in front of you that keeps putting on their brakes. We were on our way to the campground Thursday night, and we got behind a pickup truck on a long, long, long straight road, and he kept hitting his brakes and slowing down and slowing down, and I got right on his tail, you know, just like every good driver does. I didn't flash my lights. I just, and he kept hitting his brakes, and he finally got down to like 20 miles an hour. I said, well, maybe he wants me to pass him. So I let him get a little bit ahead of me, and then I tromped it and went around him, and just as I went around him, there was a deer right in front of his hood, He was stopping for a deer, but dumb Daryl thought he was doing something else and just had to show off and get around him. Listen, when I was behind him, my words were probably not, "Oh, Holy Ghost, bless him tonight." Don't ask me what I said because I didn't say anything. But I think one of the biggest challenges or tests in our Christianity is when we're behind the steering wheel. It's selfish to think about yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your fellow man, your fellow person as yourself. So we understand that love is not an option. Can we get that today? Number one, love is not an option. It's the number one characteristic of every believer. I don't care how much revelation of the word you have. I don't know how much. I don't care how much Greek and Hebrew you know. Do you have love one for another? I don't care if you pray 3 hours a day. You fast every month, a week. I don't care how much spiritual rigmarole you go through. I want to know, can you love like Jesus loves the church? And Alex did such a good job the other night bringing that out. I wish we could have recorded it, because he brought about how that a lot of Christians, you know, people don't want to be associated with Christianity because of the way a lot of Christians treat them. Amen. Moving along. Yes, moving along. Now, I will say this, Alex. When I wrote this down, I had to really, 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 really think about it two or three times, because this is pretty direct. And some of you, I might lose some of you right now, but remember, I still love you like Jesus loves the church, okay? There's nothing you can do. Listen, if you could have run me off because somebody didn't love me, I'd have left a long time ago. Because I'm going to guarantee you, not everybody at Solid Rock has always loved Daryl and Darlene Rhodes. I promise you. If you aren't sharing your faith with people, if you aren't telling other people about the goodness and the greatness of our God and what he's done for you, the problem could be that you love yourself more than you love others. Woo! I told you I'd lose a couple here. We love ourselves more than we love others. Jesus did not spend his entire 3.5 years of ministry or 3 years of ministry just talking about himself and refusing to share his faith. Wow. It's getting quiet. The reason he said love your neighbor as yourself is because we are not to be self-centered. And when you get a dose of God's love and the goodness of God and the favor of God, Darlene and I were talking yesterday. We were saying, Lord, thank you for your blessings so that we can bless others. That's what come out of our mouth. Thank you, Lord, for your favor so that we can help favor other people. We said, thank you, Lord, for your goodness so we can share goodness with other people. That's why God wants to bless you. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you shall be a blessing. Why do we not talk about our faith? Are we ashamed? Are we embarrassed? You don't want anybody to know you go to Solid Rock? But I'm going to tell you something. The love of God cannot be contained. I said the love of God cannot be contained. When the love of God is boiling over on the inside of you, it's got to come out. And it doesn't come out by saying, you dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell if you don't change your heart. That is not good news. Amen? And that's what a lot of people have done in the past. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. We don't win people by telling them, you know, how rotten, dirty they are, and you know, because you don't go to church, and because you do this and do this and do this and do this, you're not going to heaven. Listen, what people need to know is that I love you just like God loves you. God loves you beyond any. You can't even compare it with a love on the earth. And when you stop and count your blessings of how good God has been to you, has he been good to you? Why would we not want to share that with others? Okay. John 3:16. You don't even need to turn to it because you can all quote it. For God so loved the that he gave his only, that whosoever would not but have everlasting life. I believe when you understand that the love of God is in you, you will begin to pour out. You cannot be a selfish person and be a Christian. Now, I could have probably worded that a little better, but I'll tell you one thing. You cannot be a selfish person and be a successful Christian, because Christianity is all about giving. It's about sharing. Hello? If you're not sharing your faith at your workplace, and I heard what Alex said the other day, because he said, I'm embarrassed to tell somebody I'm a Christian, because the one guy that just worked here got fired, and he said he was a Christian. He prayed over his meals all the time, and because of that, he did some things that was not right and got fired. And so people are thinking, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian. But you can tell what the Lord has done for you. What has God done for you? It cannot be contained. Amen. When you understand the love of God flowing through you, you will not be able to contain it. Amen. Okay. 1 John 4, verse 19 through 21. Are you finished? Okay. Didn't want to interrupt her. 1 John 4:19. We love each other because what? He loved us first. If someone says, I love you, but hates, we read this a while ago, but I want to just revisit this in closing. If someone says, I love you, but hates a fellow believer, detest, doesn't mean hate like, I hate you. It's like, oh, you better just keep an arm's distance away from me. I don't think I like you. I love you, but hates his fellow believer. That person is a liar. For if we don't love God, who we can see, how can we love God, whom we cannot see? And then he has given us this commandment. Those who love God must also love their ugly fellow believers. Did I say it right? They're mean fellow believers. They're fellow believers that don't even believe like them. Amen? One of the true signs of a believer is not that they don't do this and they don't do that and they don't go here and they don't say this. That's not the surest, truest, most positive sign that a person is born again, is they will have God's love and compassion flowing out of them to other people. Thank you for that thunder of silence. That was good. I think I might read that again and see if I can get a better thunder. And then I wrote this down. I'm afraid to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you don't have God's love and compassion flowing out of your life, you need to seriously consider whether or not you have been a recipient of God's love. It will preach, won't it, Corey? Because if it's in you, it should come out of you. I'm just going to go out here on a limb, Luke. If God's blessed you financially, how many knows you ought to be a blessing financially to other people? Amen. If God's given you a gift, a talent, and somebody needs a hand, you know what? You ought to be willing to help them out. Come on now. Dr. Medeiros, I used to go to Dr. John Bird. And he was my family doctor. We met because we had both been to Africa. He spent a year there in medical missions, and we were very close friends. In fact, when he got remarried, he invited Darlene and I to the wedding, and we went to the wedding. It was an outdoor wedding, but had a great time. But do you know that when I would go to see Dr. John Bird, he would always write on the ticket, PC. You know what that was? You know what that is? Professional courtesy. He never charged me. He was a friend. I got to go see Dr. Bird all the time. He could have charged me. But that love and that compassion, that connection that we had, joined us together. And when the love of God, when it's flowing in you, it should be flowing through you. I hope this is helping you today. I really do. Because we're going to continue to grow. Listen, these chairs are all going to be filled in just a few weeks. This church is going to grow so fast. I just feel it. And when we do, listen, we're going to get some weirdos, right? We will. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at the empty seats that's going to be filled with some people that you might think are widows. What's the word I'm looking for? Weirdos. I want to tell you something. We've already got weirdos in this church. But we love them anyway. And I'm the biggest one up here. I'm 76 years old. In 3 months, I will be 77. I stepped up in my truck the other day because I went to the car wash. It was full of mud from the Thursday night trip to the campground. You know what I mean? Muddy. It was my truck wasn't black. It was brown. And so I went through the car wash, and I took out my floor mats for them to wash my floor mats before I got to the entrance. And as I stepped back into my truck, I thought, I don't want to step on that floorboard or that running board. It's too dirty. It's filthy. I love to tell on myself sometimes. That's what old people do, huh? And so I didn't put my foot on the running board. It was too dirty, and I didn't want to track it into my truck. So I just took the big step up. Let me go back to the beginning. When I got to church Friday, I looked down, and I still had my house shoes on. And I didn't want to go back home and change my shoes. So I wore my house shoes here at the church all day Friday. And I went to the car wash in my house shoes. Well, when I started to step into my truck, my house shoes slipped off. I fell right on my back, right out in front of everybody. There was a police officer in front of me because I was up talking to him. And I know he saw me in the mirror. I hit the ground on my back, all four spread out. My house shoe went flying way over there in the other lane. I got up so fast, and I said, I'm okay, because there was people behind us, you know, all around. I'm okay. And I went and picked up my house shoe and felt like an idiot. But your pastor's weird sometimes. Yeah. You can say amen. Your pastor is really weird sometimes. Wear house shoes to church all day long. And my feet were sore when I got home. Okay, I want to go to Romans 12, and then I'm going to ask the worship team when I finish reading to come up. When I finish reading this scripture, Romans 12, verse 16. Romans 12, 16 through 21. How are you, Jackson? Good. Every time somebody gets up and goes to the bathroom, I'm going to welcome them back when they come in. How are you, Alex? Okay. Don't you love solid rock? I hope the older I get, I don't embarrass you guys. I'm just me, okay? If I embarrass you, I'm sorry. But I love to be real with people. I've seen so much phonyism. Live in harmony with each other. He is not talking to just the church in Rome. He's talking to believers. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud. I want to read this slow. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Maybe not as spiritual as you are, or maybe more spiritual than you are, or maybe not as educated as you are, maybe not in the Word as much as you are, maybe don't know the Greek like you do. Don't be so good and so proud that you can't enjoy the company of ordinary people. And, are you ready for this next line? Don't think you know it all. That's called P-R-I-D-E. How many knows the Bible says we are ever learning? We are forever learning, ever learning. How many knows the Bible says that knowledge puffeth up? Knowledge puffeth up. You get a little bit of knowledge, you get a little bit of Bible knowledge under you. You know, I've been to Bible school and I've got a graduate, I got a certificate on the wall to prove it. And I've been in ministry for 50 years and I know all there is about pastoring, you know. I'm still learning. And if I'll be honest with you, I feel like I know less today than I did know 50 years ago. Because as the Bible grows and as the Word grows on the inside of us, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we say, how come I didn't see that 20 years ago? How did that scripture slip by 30 years ago? I didn't even know that was in the Bible. You can read the Bible from cover to cover, but listen, honey, you ain't going to memorize it. And even if you do, it doesn't mean you know it. Is this good today?
Yes.
Thank you. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with evil, with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. People are watching you on the job. They'll never know I took that paper clip. They'll never know I took that ink pen. They'll never know I took those scissors. They'll never know I took a ream of paper. Oh, but God does. And when somebody sees you, you just ruined your testimony. Let everybody see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do everything you can possible to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, I don't have to do it. I don't need a club and a spade, right? Instead, if your enemies are hungry, here's the way you counteract that hatred. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Your enemies. That's the people that don't like you. That's the ones that don't come to church with you every Sunday. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads, and don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. 1 Peter 4:8, real quickly, let's look at this one. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers, listen to this. Love covers a multitude of sin. Let me explain cover, okay? Let me explain covers. Kalupto, the Greek. I probably said it wrong. Kalupto. It means cover up, conceal, hidden, keep secret, refuses to broadcast a multitude of sins, but it's especially directed to those that have confessed their sins before God. You cannot come back and bring it up and reveal it over and over and over. It's under the blood. Don't remind me of what I did 10 years ago. It's under the blood. Don't remind me what I did last week. It's under the blood. I don't need somebody pointing out my weaknesses and my failures. It's under the blood. Can somebody shout amen louder? So not everybody, come on up, worship team, where are you? Not everybody is going to love you back. Let's go to Proverbs 10 and 12. This is a sister verse to 1 Peter 4 and 8. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers or forgives all wrongs. Is this good? Is this all right? Now, let me just give you a little advice here, because sometimes people take this the wrong way. It doesn't mean that we ignore the sin. We can't pretend it never happened. But we know if it's been confessed before God, God's forgot it, and we might as well too. We choose forgiveness. You know what else we do? We extend grace. We do the best we can to keep somebody from going to hell by extending grace. Cover. How many know on a cold night, a blanket doesn't remove the cold, right? But it provides warmth and protection, right? A roof covers a house. It provides shelter in the storm. Love provides shelter. Love protects. Love here's what love covers. Let me give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's what love covers. Hurt feelings, offenses, imperfections, weaknesses, failures, repentant mistakes, and love refuses to magnify every fault. I didn't write these down. Let me show you. I'll give these to you if you want them. Just let me know after church. What love does not cover. Listen to me closely. Love does not excuse abuse. Love does not excuse injustice or unrepented sin. At Solid Rock, we have different tiers of ministry. To whom much is given, much is required. And we expect more from tier three levels than we do from tier one, as far as their style and their living and so forth and the sins. We just do that. We hold them to a higher accountability. But we do not cover abuse. In fact, we report abuse around here. You hear me? If there's any child abuse, we will report it, won't we, Sister Redhead? Alice. What love does not cover? Covering a sin is different from concealing an ongoing wrongdoing. You got that right? A continuing wrongdoing. We don't. You know, I may approach you sometime and just say, you know, are you involved in this? Is this good for your testimony? Is this going to help you win your children to the Lord? Or is this good for your spirit, man? You know, I may do that from time to time, but I'm not rebuking you. I'm not even trying to correct you. I'm just trying to help you to see that maybe there's some changes that need to be made. But don't take it as your pastor beating you over the head with a whip. All right? We just want to help. That's what we're in the business of, helping people. Amen. So covering a sin is different from concealing an ongoing sin. Can I give you the Rhodes translation of 1 Corinthians 13? Would you allow me to do that? Rhodes translation. This is 1 Solid Rock, chapter 13. Love does not keep a scrapbook of offenses. Love is quicker to forgive than to accuse. Mercy builds bridges, bitterness builds walls. Where love increases, resentment decreases. Verses 4 through 8, okay? Rhodes translation. Love does not expose people to shame when grace can lead them to restoration. You know, there are some people that don't want restoration. Some people want to hold on to their sins. They want to hold on to their evil past. The cross is God's greatest demonstration that love covers sin, not by ignoring it, but by paying the price. Aren't you glad that we live under the covering of God's grace? Wow. Amen. You want to stand to your feet with me? If you stay with me for just a couple more minutes. You know, we're in a society today that if you hit somebody, our first response is, I got to hit them back. They hit you with a fist and then you go hit them with a hammer. You know, we're going to get even with them. Am I right? Surely, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to get even. Not everybody's going to love you back. I'm going to take care of myself, bless God. I'm going to demand my rights. demand my rights. That's what that person did that went to McDonald's one time. Remember that? They went and I went through the drive-thru and they ordered a cup of coffee. Remember that? They spilt their coffee in their lap. And what'd they do? Who'd they sue? McDonald's. You know why? Because it was McDonald's fault that the coffee was hot and the lid came off. Come on. We're believers, folks. I said, we're believers. The Bible said, I just read it a while ago, that if you are thirsty, give them to drink. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. And it says, in doing so, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. When I say pouring coals on somebody's head, I don't believe that means you're going to go hurt them and burn their hair. You know what it means? You put hot coals on somebody's head, on top of their head, they're going to know it, and they're not going to ignore it. I guarantee you, you'll get a response out of them. When you feed somebody that's hungry, when you help somebody that's thirsty, when you visit somebody that's in prison, when you... Didn't Jesus say that? Huh? I think it was Jesus that said that. Yeah. You'll get a response out of them. You might even get their attention. Think about a family visiting our church. We may have somebody here today for the very first time. Do you know if you're here today and this is your first time and nobody's speaking to you, you probably feel like a spectator. And I really, really believe that Solid Rock, we are in a place now where we just welcome the visitors. We help want them to feel right at home. They're not just spectators. Do you know that one smile? Everybody say smile. One handshake, one invitation to lunch could make all the difference in the world in those people that are seeking something. They're looking for something. And for those of you that like preaching points, here's my preaching point. People don't remember every sermon, but they'll always remember how someone made them feel. They may not remember this word today at all, but they'll remember that warm handshake you gave them when they were sitting there alone before church started. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? We thank you, Father, for the word. We thank you, Father, for your word. God, it's not easy sometimes. Sometimes we choke on your word. Maybe there's babies that just can only drink the milk of your word. But God, today, I pray that this word was received in the love and the way that I intended for it to come across. God, if I came across arrogantly or if I came across wrong, please forgive me, Lord. But God, it's our desire to see us grow in the love of God, to owe no man nothing, but to continue to repay that debt of love that you've shown us to other people. You loved us while we were still yet sinners. God loved us from the very beginning, began making a plan. As soon as Adam ate the fruit, you began to devise a plan for man's redemption because you loved mankind. You could have said, let's just ditch them all. Let's just let them die and let's go to another planet and start another population and start another people group. But you said, no, I'm going to bless my creation. And you found a way for us to return. Father, may our testimonies, the love of God flowing through us, touch other people's lives. Sometimes it may just be a smile. It may be a nod. Maybe a handshake. But God, help us to demonstrate the love of God that you've given us. And in our local church, Father, I pray and ask you that as we grow, that these growing pains will not divide us. Actually, it'll draw us closer together. I pray, Father, that even if it's doctrinal or an interpretation or a translation, I know not everybody likes the NLT. I know not everybody likes the King James. Not everybody likes the NIV. But God, even if we're using a translation that they despise, God, don't let it be an occasion for criticism. Help us, Lord, to flow together in your love. And as your word said, as much as possible, help us to be at peace with all people. Let us do everything we can to live peaceably with one another in Jesus' name. They're going to sing this song, and I want to invite you to the front this morning. If you'd like to just come down to the front, we're going to have a season of prayer before we go home today. This word spoke to you. If it didn't speak to you, I'm going to just ask that we come down as a family. Would you come as a family? We're going to mingle. We're going to love one another. Just come on down. Don't wait till I'm...